The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Sponsored by George Sitari CPA and is responsible for its content.
Mr. Speaker, the George of the United States.
Where the hell do these people come from? Why would you want some guy shaking his junk in your three-year-old daughter's face? What's the matter with you?
Now, listen in to George and his cabinet on Monday Night Roundtable.
Hey, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Monday Night Roundtable. George Sitari in studio. With everybody else taking parties off for the eclipse. So I'm here all by myself with my wonderful audience. Looking forward to comments from you. No guests tonight, no co-hosts, no nothing. Unless Steve, Dakota, Don call in and give us their insights and wisdom as to what they saw happening today on Eclipse Day. Well, like I asked in my opening little tape there, where did these people come from, and what's the matter with them? I drove here to the studio. People are driving like maniacs. It must be the warm weather. Motorcycles are out. People are doing wheelies on the freeway, racing, weaving in and out. I almost hit a couple of motorcyclists as they were weaving in and out of traffic. So maybe everybody did go a little bit nuts as we had the total eclipse today. Maybe it's something in the air, maybe it's something in the water, but here we are tonight. Looking forward to your call. 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673, and 888-677-9673. Man, there's so much going on, so much to unpack tonight. A lot of it has to do with, we got 7 months till the November general elections, almost exactly 7 months. Today's April 8th, and the election is November 5th, 6th, 7th, right around there. So it's exactly 7 months to count down to D-Day, to where our republic's going to shape up and how we're going to shape up and how we're going to look post general election 2024. So I keep telling people, we're on the front row of history, the front line. We can make a lot of things happen historically. We could be involved. We can be doing what we need to do as free people, free citizens. And lots going on. Again, President Trump, for instance, just came out with his right to life position today. Very important, because many people feel, and while they don't feel it, they know it. And the Democrats admit it, they're going to be attacking right to life. They're going to go after the pro-abortion vote as a civil rights issue that you can't tell me what to do. Boo-hoo, boo-hoo, boo-hoo. The government tells you all the time what to do. I think we know that because a week from today is April 15th. I think that number sounds familiar. No, it wasn't the day the Titanic went down. That went down April 12th, anyhow, 1912. But what is next Friday? Everybody get out their pen and paper and ding, ding, ding. They know what's going on next Friday, or next Monday, rather, April 15th. You got to pay your taxes. You got to file. You got to send in your first quarter estimate for 2024. So this situation where you just do what you want, as everybody thinks, with the pro-abortion debate that, oh, you just do what you want, and it's my body, my choice, and all that. No, I had speed limits on the freeway coming down here to the studio. I got rules and regulations, occupancy permits at the restaurant that I go to across the street. So there's rules and regulations galore. People actually, I think, like to be told what to do, except in areas that are really important, like life and protecting the life of an innocent child. So I think someone who could comment on that, oh, my new co-host, Sister Mary Grace, always a pleasure to have her calling in. She always has insight.
I appreciate you.
Hey, Sister Mary Grace, how are you today?
I could talk about anything.
Oh, I bet. You're well-versed. You always call in on a variety of topics. So what's on your mind today? What do you see happening out there?
Well, I didn't observe the eclipse, and my point is it's a harbinger that God sends us.
Well, what do you think it's a harbinger for?
The harbinger is a warning.
Of?
But I want to talk about what's happening in CERN, Switzerland.
Okay, what's happening there?
They're using the Hadron Collider.
Yes.
And they were putting two things together.
Okay.
And they wanted to, see if there was... I haven't heard anything about anything that happened up there.
So they have the collider, and I know they're... Yeah, I think that there's also one in Texas. They've had these colliders for years. I don't know. Science really isn't my expertise, but they're always looking to come up with some fancy experiments.
God particle.
Mm-hmm. I think,
and possibly going to another universe. But the point is, it's so wicked, the statue up there and everything. You know what they're going for. And it just really upset me because... You know, they're going for a polygon and the devil.
Well, you have to remember these people are big into symbols and symbolism, and they're always doing something. A lot of times I think they just like to come up with these projects, get money from the government, get money from foundations, create nice, cushy jobs for themselves and work on experiments. And the experiments
are... They had a statue there, and that was, I think it was Shiva. And it was half male, half female. And, I discussed it with somebody over the weekend, and I just said, this is really atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, to me...
Yeah, had that, I think they put that statue up several years ago, and it created some controversy back then. But you have to remember, these people never sleep. They always got something going. They always got something on their mind. They always got some ideas and projects. And like I said, a lot of times it's just symbolism. Obviously, it represents what they truly believe. But the problem is, a lot of times maybe we take it, obviously, these are serious people. They have money. They have power. They like to cause trouble. But ultimately, they'll be defeated, by prayer.
Correlation. Also, NASA was putting up some of these things to understand the eclipse and what it does. But they were putting up, I think, different missiles.
Okay.
But they named them.
Oh, they named missiles now? That's nice.
They named them, but they were all Greek gods. And I said, this is really nasty. And that's from, I think, totally evil. And I was just like, God help us.
Are you talking about the NASA space programs like Apollo and Gemini and all these names that they come up with?
No. They had special ones for this thing.
Okay.
Special little, not drones, but missiles.
Mm-hmm.
And they named them. And they were just observing the eclipse and the effects of it.
Hmm. Well, interesting enough, the eclipse, it was interesting. Obviously, it's historical. The next time. again, you hear different numbers, different years. But again, it depends where it's going to show up again. Some people say 2044. Some people say the same part of the United States. It's like, you know, like
70, no, the 70. Next one will be in 2026.
Is that another total eclipse? Or
yes.
And is that going to be in the United States?
Yes.
Okay. Again, I think, you know, it was interesting, but it was a big nothing burger in my book. Like I said, these people like symbolism and symbols. And speaking of symbolism and symbols, we have Dakota calling in online, too.
Oh, gosh, please take him.
Yeah, I am. Stay on the line for a minute.
I pray for him all the time.
Yeah, stay on the line for a minute, Sister Mary Grace, so you could say hello to okay. Dakota. Hey, Dakota, how you doing? Welcome to Monday Night Roundtable. Speaking of symbols and symbolism, we're talking about good things, bad things, all the things coming to pass. And lo and behold, you just pop in on the screen. What? How fortuitous is that?
I know, right? You know, it's, you talk about the good things, the bad things, and then here I am.
Well, we talk about
God bless you, Dakota.
We talk about the good, Sister Mary Grace, the bad, Dakota, and the ugly, George. So the good, the bad, and the ugly. So it all comes to fruition here. So, Sister Mary Grace, I know you say prayers for Dakota. He's up in that state next to us. I refrain from saying the name since Don doesn't like it. So I'll just say Itchigan.
Is the word.
Itchigan. The state of Itchigan. We don't want to say the complete name.
Oh, I know. So, but I got friends up there, too.
So, Dakota, say hello to Sister Mary Grace. She's had some interesting symbolic concepts that she's talking about. And Sister Mary Grace, thanks for calling in. You know, we have, again, I'm just here all by my lonesome today talking and rambling. So looking forward to
love you guys.
Thanks. We love you too, Sister Mary Grace. Thank you very much for calling in. Hey, Dakota, tell us what's going on up in Michigan.
Yeah, so a lot of great things happening here in Michigan. You know, we're planning on, we come back next week from our long spring, our 3-week spring break in the Michigan House of Representatives.
What are you guys, college students or what?
Exactly. You know, we had, normally the spring break is 2 weeks, so that way every parent can cover their child's spring break because, you know, some schools do it the week before Easter, some schools do it the week after Easter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always 2 weeks, but because the Democrats are missing two vacancies in their special elections, conveniently, we come back the day after the special election. You know, that's just a coincidence, though.
You know what Roosevelt said in politics, there are no coincidences. But
exactly. So we come back the day after their special, their two special elections with, if they win both, they regain their majority. If they lose one, they're equally tied, which has not happened since 1966 when the House was equally divided and we had to share power. The Republicans and Democrats had to share power. So this is not totally out of the norm, but if they were to lose at least one seat on Tuesday, they would, they would have to share power with Republicans and actually pass Republican legislation.
Wow.
So I
know the Republican Party in Michigan is sort of under new leadership. Are they actively working to secure those seats for the Republican and make it a majority and make it a conservative majority?
So they're actively working in one of those seats. They're not actively, there's one seat that they totally know that they will not win, that they aren't even going to spend a dime in. But there is one seat that is Democrat, but it's not heavily Democrat, and in a low turnout special election, you could possibly win that seat. You know, we've seen this like happen in Texas, where a deep blue, Texas congressional seat was won by Mara Flores, a Republican, in a special election. That was a heavy Democrat. It's always been a Democrat seat, and she won it. So this is not something that is totally unwinnable, that they're, just throwing money into basically a pit. But this is something that they're actively working in to try to win this seat because they think that they could possibly win this.
Right. So are they thoughtfully attacking the process in the sense that they're putting in money strategically? They have a good candidate. They have good messaging. They're doing all the things that, a good political party would, could, and should do. Are they attacking it you know, from logic, reason, thoughtfulness.
Yes, I mean, they're promoting a common sense candidate that is a conservative, that, you know, they're not, you know, just running somebody, you know, Joe Schmo off the street. They're running a pretty good candidate in that one seat. And I, you know, with if he were to win, I think he would be a stellar conservative. And a great addition to the Michigan legislature. So we'll see what happens. Tuesday the 16th is the election, and we'll see how that works out and see where we go from there. But next Wednesday, the Michigan House Freedom Caucus will be introducing legislation similar to the Texas Senate Bill 4, which is the bill that made it a state-level crime to enter the country illegally and reside in the state. And it allows state and local law enforcement to arrest and deport after criminal sentencing. So after the after an illegal alien serves their criminal sentence, they can be deported by state and local law enforcement to a port of entry to their country of origin. And it allows judges for your first offense, it is a misdemeanor. We don't have classes, degrees of misdemeanors in the state of Michigan. So it is just a misdemeanor that is punishable up to a year in prison. And then a second offense, if you come back into this country illegally and you are in Michigan, you can be charged with a felony of the second degree, which is punishable of a minimum of 2 years in prison and a maximum of 20 years in prison. So it gives a wide range of sentencing depending on the other crimes that you commit. That you are arrested
for. So that's interesting. In the state of Michigan, you only have something called misdemeanor, and that's it, right?
Yeah, we just have we don't classify our misdemeanors. They're just misdemeanors.
Because here in Ohio, I believe we have 1 through 5, and with the fifth one, it's a fifth one if fifth-degree misdemeanor, and your penalty can be, I think, no prison time, but up to $1,000 in fines. So it's interesting how, you know, it's always good to see how different states handle different things, and it gives us a perspective on some ideas here in the state of Ohio. I believe in the state.
Yep, it's just like our criminal justice, we classify our felonies, and we, you know, we do have our first degree, second degree, third degree, and we even go to fourth degree felonies. But our misdemeanors are all just lumped in. So, like, if you were to commit a heinous misdemeanor, the way that it's classified is the punishment. So, like, if you you know, when they're looking at your background, if your punishment of a misdemeanor was this more than this amount of jail time, well, then that's how that is classified, and that's how we separate different types of misdemeanors in the state of Michigan is the amount of time that you could serve in prison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. And I know we're looking at having a legislative luncheon here in the state of Ohio in early May with Dr. Keyes and talking about similar legislation that Texas has. And it's good that, you know, Michigan, Ohio, hopefully Indiana, Pennsylvania, I'll start working together somewhat as a block and, you know, bouncing and getting good ideas from each other. Tell us what the state of Ohio is looking to do on Texas-style legislation regarding immigration.
Yeah, so State Representative Jennifer Gross is working on this legislation with us, and she, you know, she's a stellar conservative, and, you know, she's done legislation for us in the past banning of central bank digital currency. And she's doing this one, basically just a similar version, making it a first-degree misdemeanor in the state of Ohio, your first offense, and a second-degree felony, your second offense. And that's what we're looking to do in Ohio. We're trying. We're working on the date that we're looking on is having our next legislative luncheon is Tuesday, May 7th, mm-hmm. In the Capitol. The room is to be determined. But we will be having former U.S. Ambassador Dr. Alan Keyes as the keynote at our legislative luncheon. And we're actually planning a week-long of events with Dr. Keyes, with even a stop at Medina County Friends and Neighbors Saturday, May 11th. So he will be in the Cleveland area twice that week, the first time being Wednesday the 8th for a fundraiser, and then Saturday the 11th for McFan. So we look forward to having Dr. Keys into Ohio and Michigan for that whole week. Unfortunately, I will not be there for those events. Fortunately, I will be shipping out for basic training for the National Guard.
Tell us about that. That sounds sort of exciting. If you want to get
So I signed up and enlisted in the Michigan National Guard.
Is that because you were able to hold back the Canadian invasions pretty successfully and they decided
to... Yeah, that's it. You know, with everything, you know, we were able to close the Ambassador Bridge and, you know, keep those Canadians out.
And stop that illicit gambling in Windsor and all those tawdry women that they have over there. So from coming
I did happen to spend my $45 and purchase my Michigan driver's license that allows me into the Canadian port without a passport. So I have not yet tried it, but I will venture off to Canada at some point in the near future.
Yeah, so... So tell us, you'll be gone for basic training and then I think advanced training for your MOS.
Yes, I'm in intelligence, and so I will be going off to Arizona for intelligence school. And that whole training, the basic and then my advanced training will be for 6 months. So I will be back actually the day before the election, which is very, very great timing so I can come home and vote.
Right, that's interesting. So you're gonna are you basically, I won't say locked up, obviously, but for that 6 month period, are you relatively incommunicado, or how does that work?
So for those first 9 weeks, I will be. You get your cell phone 30 minutes every Sunday for 9 weeks, and then after that, I will be back into the world of communication.
Wow, that's really exciting. And then you'll be in the Michigan National Guard, and you'll be basically a reservist. Would that be your status?
Yep. So it's part time. Kind of. There's training once a month for a whole weekend, and then it's 2 weeks out of the year that you go out for more training in your MOS. And so I will be doing that just as a reservist, as someone who, if the governor calls up for a disaster or for quelling a riot, with the 2024 being the year, you never know.
Yeah, and technically, if you're, I think the status of most National Guard units are that they're under the direction, beck and call, technically, of the president as part of the Army or part
correct.
Of the...
Correct. The president can nationalize the National Guard at any point for any rhyme reason. It's within his whole discretion to federalize any state National Guard, which we have not seen, I believe, since the Kent State riot, the federalizing of a National Guard when Ohio's was nationalized, and then they sent in obviously it wasn't to undermine the governor. The governor worked in close cooperation. I believe it was
Governor Rhodes back then.
Rhodes, yes.
Right.
It was Rhodes. It was in close collaboration with Rhodes to deploy the National Guard to Kent State.
Right, interesting. So even when they call up National Guard units to go to Iraq or Afghanistan or whatever the case may be, technically they're just being called up, but they're not nationalized per se. Is that correct?
Correct. That is in collaboration with the state and federal government. They're not nationalized unless the president issues an executive order nationalizing them. But that is normally the times when you see the National Guard going over to Afghanistan or to Iraq, over the recent years, that is because of a collaboration between the state and federal government.
Right. And I believe Ohio, beside the National Guard, they have another type of unit, and some of our friends are in those kind of units. What other units or levels do they have in Ohio?
Defense Force, which is a total state-controlled militia, basically. So it's the Ohio Defense Force, and it is to the whole control relies on the governor, and it cannot be nationalized. Florida just reinstituted theirs called the Florida State Guard. Texas has theirs called the Texas State Guard. So many states, including Ohio and even including Michigan, they have these state guards, these state defense forces that cannot be nationalized, but can is solely heavily and, you know, authorized by the governor of the state.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. So that's why we've also been successful here in Ohio to hold back the Canadian invasion. So we have that state guard. Hey, Dakota, this is Monday Night Roundtable, George Sitari in studio. Dakota Sawyer calling in from that state up north, Michigan, and we're chit-chatting about a lot of things. You know, Dakota, I'm so glad that you called in because there's so many topics that, you know, I like to bounce off people, and the rest of our team is not here. Don and Steve are taking a well-deserved time off. But I know President Trump, and we're going to talk about this after the break, President Trump came up with his statement and his position on abortion and right to life. I don't know if you've heard his statement.
Yes, I did. I did hear that this morning.
I thought it was interesting and pretty good, and it was very, very constitutional-minded. Talk about that a little bit. Here in the state of Ohio, we're working on election integrity. I imagine you're working on that in Michigan as well. And a lot of other topics that, you know, like I said, it's 7 months to the, almost 7 months to the day to the general election in November. So we're going to chit-chat more about those issues. Well, so look forward to your calls here on Monday Night Roundtable. 888-677-9673. Also hoping our friend Lisa Woods calls in because McFan is having a tremendous meeting this Saturday, April 13th. Again, George Sitari in studio with special call-in former co-host, but always a font of information, great policy, Dakota Sawyer. We'll be right back after these messages on Monday Night Roundtable.
Hey, Bob France here, and we're in studio once again with Mark King from Keeping Medicare Simple. Mark, are there a lot of bad actors out there breaking the law and making Medicare phone calls?
Unfortunately, we've seen an increase in that activity this year, and that person who is calling you to get you to change your coverage. He or she is not looking out for your best interest necessarily. They are calling you just to make a commission.
Mark, in addition to those illegal phone calls that people are receiving, they're also seeing Joe Namath on TV and a whole bunch of other people. Can we trust them?
Well, Joe Namath is not your friend. If you call that number, you are giving permission to Medicare insurance agents around the country to call you.
Even though most of those agents around the country may not know what the specific limitations are in Ohio.
Right, and that's the great part of dealing with us. We know the local plans.
You know the local plans, you know the local restrictions, and that's why you want to call Mark King instead at 440-832-8936. That's 440-832-8936, or log on to KeepingMedicareSimple.com.
Be afraid. Be very afraid. There are those in Washington who want the IRS to take more of your hard-earned money. Are you tired of being the perpetual cash cow for every scheme, unreasonable program, and for all the fraud, waste, and abuse in our system? Well, good news. I can help. George Sitari has almost 40 years of experience helping people like you keep more of what you make. It makes no sense that the more you make, the more they take. Let George help you keep your money away from the government bureaucratic waste and in your pocket. Call 216-651-1120 right now and schedule your free consultation today. Instead of a victim, you'll be the victor. With many success stories, George helps with tax planning, estate planning, financial and business analysis, and more. The new tax law has many ways to save money with retirement planning, accelerated depreciation, up to 20% exception of net earnings, and so much more. Call 216-651-1120. That's 216-651-1120. You earn it. We'll help you keep it. That's George Sitari, CPA, 216-651-1120.
This is Lisa Woods from Medina County Friends and Neighbors, and I'd like to invite you to our meetings on the second and fourth Saturdays of every month at the Thirsty Cowboy on the corner of I-71 and Route 18 in Medina.
Swamp, fake news, racist hats? Are you afraid to believe anymore? Well, let me tell you of one brave soul who, like David, slew Goliath. The true story of one man's fight against greed, corruption, and insatiable ambition in small-town Ohio, Checkmate reveals why passion and integrity are rare in the corridors of swing state politics. If you want to hear the truth, how the swamp operates in Ohio with all the political corruption in real time, get Steve Krause's tell-all, true life story, Checkmate, One Man's Fight Against Political Corruption, available on Amazon. As a newly elected state representative, Steve takes you behind the scenes, behind the closed doors, and rips back the curtain to expose all the lies, the deceit, and power-hungry gamesmanship. Checkmate reads like a TV drama, but it's not.
Once you start it, you won't be able to put it down.
Checkmate, One Man's Fight Against Political Corruption by Steve Krause, available on Amazon today.
Welcome back to Monday Night Roundtable. A little perky music to perk you up after that exciting eclipse. I watched it for about 10 minutes. It was nice. It was interesting. It was historical, but it was somewhat of a yawner, let's be honest. A lot of interesting stuff was coming out. For instance, last evening, I did receive a text, and I think a lot of these kind of texts were going around. Singapore TV announces the news. Please tell your relatives and friends tonight from 12:30 to 3:30 a.m. Again, this was last evening. Our planet will have very high radiation. Cosmic rays will pass very close to the Earth. So please turn off your cell phone. Do not leave the equipment close to your body, as it will cause terrible damage to you. If you don't believe it, you can check it out on Google and NASA BBC News. Send this message to all the people important to you in your life. Everyone is in danger, so take care of yourself. Dakota, goes back to the question, right?
Exactly.
It's like, I wrote back to this friend. I said, no, I doubt it. I think that the moon is passing it in front of the sun at 3 o'clock. I don't think it's emitting cosmic rays. I did talk to my scientific advisor, Carrie Coleman, the great weatherman, who's still on a very competitive talk show here in Northeast Ohio. Good friend. We met yesterday for a couple of drinks and chit-chat about some of the issues of the day, and I was laughing. I mean, I don't know much about science, but I think an event like we had with the moon passing in front of the sun and blocking it out does not emit cosmic rays. That's going to blow your body up. People love to...
But, you know, George, we survived this one. We survived the one in 2017. And you know what? When it keeps coming on, every so often, and we keep surviving them. It's like, at what point do you finally say, maybe you're wrong?
Mm-hmm. And you know, as I noted to Sister Mary Grace, the powers that be, they love symbols and symbolism, and they like to tie things together, and they like to agitate the conservatives, the right wing. Oh my goodness! It's the end, cosmic rays. What are we gonna do? Obviously, the powers that be, they're smart people. They like to link symbolic themes. They have plans for us, digital currency, violating election laws, on and on and on. These people never sleep, but we have to stop imbuing them with the powers that, we would just want to make them omnipotent, omnipowerful, everything. They are not. They're men. They have different philosophies. They're evil. They embrace Satanism, humanism, materialism, crass materialism, communism, all kind of isms that are nonsense, that are antithetical to our Christian beliefs. But these people are not infallible little gods with small g, so let's stop it. They always have plans because they have a philosophy of totalitarianism. But they can't make the sun and the moon dance together and issue cosmic rays at 3 in the morning. So we have to stop that. Right, Dakota?
Absolutely. You know, it just at some point, I just wish that conservatives would not fall to, you know, these conspiracy theories, because then it makes the whole movement look like crazies.
Right. Obviously,
you know, they come up with all these ideas that I'm sure that, you know, somebody in either the FBI or the CIA is laughing that they're eating this up.
Right. There's no question that there are conspiracies out there. There are plots against our freedoms and liberty and good order in our Constitution. There are those things. But, you know, when you know, we buy into QAnon and all these things that, you know, John F. Kennedy Jr. is going to be Donald Trump's running mate and all this other nonsense, we got to stop that. We are, you know, Christ in Scripture says, come, let us reason together. Okay? We're not blobs of just emotion and unthinking, thoughtless individuals. We have discernment. We have knowledge. We have information. We need to glean wisdom. And speaking of gleaning wisdom, we're going to glean a little bit of wisdom today, this week, Wednesday, with the Ohio Freedom Fighters. We have our friend Linda calling in from Medina. She wants to tell us about election integrity. And I think either Dakota hung up or got disconnected. But Dakota, give us a call back because we have so many things to talk about. But Linda, welcome to Monday Night Roundtable. And tell us a little bit about the election integrity meeting that's going to take place on Wednesday.
Thank you. Thank you, George, for having me. I am so excited about the 7291 Stone Road in the western end of Medina. And Marley Hornick is coming in from United Sovereign Americans.
Mm-hmm.
I know that a good portion of people, voters, people on both sides of the aisle think that our election process needs some work. And this, what she's presenting, is about the process. It has nothing to do with the party. It has nothing to do with candidates. It has to do about the process from voters to vote to counting.
Hey, Linda, could I ask you to speak a little bit more directly into the phone?
Ohio.
Linda, can you hear me?
Be improved, and there is a plan to go forward to get our elections legitimately certifiable by November. Wouldn't that be nice?
Mm-hmm. Hey, Linda, I don't know if you can hear me, but I'm having a little bit of difficulty hearing you. I don't know if you're speaking directly into the phone or if we have a weaker connection, but I'm getting an awful lot of feedback. Can you perhaps speak up a little bit?
Okay. I'll try and move around here.
Yeah, because
see if I can get a better read. Is this better?
I can hear you. I don't know how you come across the listening audience, but again, this is sponsored by Ohio Freedom Fighters. And tell us who the speaker will be again on Wednesday.
On Wednesday, the group, the speaker is going to be Marley Hornick from New York. The group is United Sovereign Americans, and their website is unite4freedom.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a serious plan for getting true certifiable elections by November.
Right. I know Tom Zalastowski from We the People Convention has been talking about, and he's going to be there, and I chatted with quite a few other group leaders. We're going to meet there and talk about, obviously, election integrity is one of the great issues of 2024. But somebody did analysis of the voter rolls here in the state of Ohio, and I believe there's 900,000 some voters who have either died, moved, relocated, and the voter rolls need to be shored up and tightened up here in the state of Ohio. I don't know if, Linda, if you've heard anything about that or not.
Yes. I listened to a podcast she did over the weekend, and I've been at a previous presentation that she's done, and she's going to bring the scorecard for Ohio for exactly what needs to be cleaned up in order for our voter rolls to be certifiable.
Yeah, Secretary of State Frank LaRose says all the right things. For what he says, I'd give him a B+, an A-, but sometimes it seems like the Office of the Secretary of State, their actions, policies, checks and balances don't necessarily dovetail 100% with you know, the talking points of Secretary Frank LaRose. So he will be, I believe there's a sheet being put together with all the different questions that he does need to follow up and answer. So,
right.
So Linda, this give us that address again on Stone Road in Medina.
Yes, the address is 7291 Stone Road at 7 o'clock
okay.
on Wednesday night.
Right, that's in beautiful, I don't know if it's right in Medina Township, but it's in Medina County. It's basically a little bit south of Route 18 on obviously it's best to Google it to get there.
It's west. I think it's in York Township, actually.
Oh, York Township, that's yeah. right. Right. Mm-hmm. They usually have good presentations, good people, good groups. And
I can sometimes listen to somebody and, you know, do things on my phone. When I went to her presentation that she did a couple weeks ago, I had to totally focus on what she was saying. It was so buttoned up.
Mm-hmm.
It was so informative. All your listeners need to come and hear for themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm like I mentioned, I'm getting a group of people together myself. Plus, I'm meeting with a group of people because obviously that's one of the great challenges for 2024. We have a lot of challenges, as you know, Linda, all the time. Because,
right.
as I mentioned, these people never sleep and they will do anything to upset our good constitutional order and our republic. But this is one of the pivotal ones. It's so important that President Trump get reelected in 2024, because, you know, we're sort of on the tipping point. We're at the precipice. We're on the front seats of history. And I think people should, you know, get knowledge, information, and get involved. Talk to our Secretary of State. Talk to our elected representatives. Get people out and vote. Become poll workers, on and on and on. So, Linda, I do want to thank you for that update. Our phone lines are ringing up here on Monday Night Roundtable.
Okay.
Thanks, Linda, and I'll definitely see you Wednesday.
Thanks, George.
At the event. Thank you, Linda.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you. Hey, Dakota, do you have any comments on election integrity? I know that it's so critical. I don't know what Michigan is doing. Sometime I think, you know, listening to Secretary of State Frank LaRose, it sounds like everything's hunky-dory. Like I said, his talking points are B+, but I don't know if all the time that the policy, the administrative follow-up, you know, matches the rhetoric that he so nicely, you know, summarizes for us.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, election integrity is going to be a big topic, especially in a swing state like Michigan. I will say that as soon as Michael Whatley and Laura Trump took over the RNC, they immediately sued the Michigan Secretary of State over her handling of the voter rolls and trying to get those cleaned up. So the RNC has sued the Michigan Secretary of State over using flawed analysis of the population data to argue that the state voter rolls are bloated and inaccurate, saying that the voter rolls are too high for what the population of each county is. And so the RNC is now trying to get those situated before the election. And so it's very interesting. As soon as they took over, they filed an immediate lawsuit in the state of Michigan against our Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson.
Yeah, that's great because, you know, there's still so much, so many states that have Democratic Secretary of States. A lot of the Board of Elections are controlled by the wrong people, or the people that don't really have checks and balances, aren't doing the right thing, and, you know, cause some havoc, you know, on Election Day. It's amazing how these people seemingly have no conscience at times, that they would just cheat and do a whole variety of things just to win the election. So, Dakota, you know, as I don't know if you watched Tom Z's podcast this weekend from We the People Convention, but he did indicate there's about 900,000 names in Ohio that seem to be either duplicates or people that have died, moved, whatever, shouldn't be on the list. So that'll be an interesting challenge for Secretary of State Frank LaRose. Also, Dakota, I don't know, did you see the New Mexico ruling from a federal judge that the New Mexico voter rolls have to be made public information? Did you see anything relating to that?
Yes, I did. And it's, you know, it is stuff like that that allows for groups. There's, you know, plenty of election integrity groups now out there that are looking at voter rolls. And so making voter rolls public information and allowing people to examine them is very crucial in to ensure that outside scrutiny from these, you know, Secretary of State's office could be put into place and to have these accountability measures to make sure that our voter rolls are accurate. It was, you know, it was Ohio under John Houston that got upheld in the U.S. Supreme Court that Ohio could purge inactive voters, that they could purge people that did not have confirmed addresses, people that, you know, haven't that moved. And so Ohio did a regular cleanup of the voter rolls once a year, and I believe they still do. And so that, you know, example of doing that, which it being upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court by doing so, you know, allows for these Secretary of States in all 50 states to ensure that they have proper, clean voter rolls that are up to date and that are constantly being swept through and being updated, people being removed that have moved, died, or, you know, they are inactive voters. So, you know, to allow that, you know, to make sure that we have a constant, active, clean voter roll is important to election integrity.
Yeah, I always find it amazing that you have groups who oppose clean, cleared up, analyzed data voter rolls. Like, why would you want to take a dead person off the list? I'm going to sue you to keep that person on there. Who the hell does
exactly
that?
You know, it's a no-brainer. You know, you would think that at removing dead people, people that have moved out of the state that are registered elsewhere, people, you know, how is that controversial? How is that something that you can argue upon that maybe we should remove these dead, inactive people off our voter rolls, keep them clean, keep them updated, so that way active participants of our constitutional republic can continue to do so, knowing that their vote is secure and being counted and that it cannot be manipulated by adding all of these dead people to the voter rolls.
Yeah, I just find it amazing that people will actually take these things to court and lobby and petition against, you know, cleaning up the rolls, like you mentioned, people that are dead, duplicates, moved out of state. So brings me back to Monday Night Roundtable's motto. Where the hell do these people come from? And, well, they come from because they get paid to be jerks and mercenaries and they hate our republics. So I know where they come from. And more importantly, I think they have psychological problems. So my follow-up question to all these people who would do that is, what's the matter with you? So a lot of times I just shake my head. I just can't comprehend it at times that someone would initiate a lawsuit to keep dead people on the voter rolls. I just don't get it.
You would think that, you know, that'd be like, oh yeah, we can agree upon that. You know, if there's anything that we should be able to agree upon, is that dead people should not be on the active voter roll. They should not be. They're dead. I mean, they're not using their right to vote. They can't.
Right. So, it's just amazing what people will do for money and attack. I mean, yeah, how are we going to find common ground in this so-called fracturing of our country, our potential civil war that we're coming up upon, when we can't even agree upon taking dead people off the voter rolls?
If you look at it, you know, the United States is the only Western nation to use electronic voting to vote by machine. We're the only Western nation. France did it, and then they immediately reverted because they had so many problems. They are back to a paper ballot. They started with a paper ballot. They switched to the machines for an election, and they're like, this is way too complex, too much, you know, security problems, and they switched back to paper ballots. England, France, Germany, Spain, they've all gone, every Western nation has gone to paper, has stuck with or switched back to paper ballots.
Right. That's a cornerstone and a key to election integrity. And even these liberal democracies, as they label themselves, even they know that something's wrong when you just have all kind of electronic, you know, hooked to the internet and people. I mean, you could manipulate so much data through, you know, so many electronic means. I had a friend of mine who was an investigative journalist, and he said that the electronics are so non-secure, and he was did some investigation. It wasn't even related to elections and voting and all that. He said the electronics are so sophisticated that the government, if they want to get someone, you could have your computer just plugged in. You're not even connected to the internet. You're connected with electricity into your plug, that they could send signals into the electrical port up your through your power supply and put stuff on your computer that way, even if you're not even connected to the internet. So he was high-level military intelligence at one time, so he was telling me some of these stories, and it's like, wow, that's really interesting. So if they could do it that way, just through the plug in the electrical power source, what else can these people do with electronics? So,
I mean, absolutely. It goes to show that we should be using paper ballots. We should be hand counting these ballots. You know, the fact that we, not even Canada does not even use electronic voting. I mean, if you look at it, that all of these Western countries are able to get fast, secure results with hand counting and with paper ballots goes to show that the United States can as well. You know, look at the United Kingdom, for example. In 2019, in their elections, they were able to get their results and who was in power by midnight for their election. They were able to hand count. In England's political system, you have to have a political party win a majority seats of parliament in order to form a government. Well, that's a lot of there's over 600 constituencies that they would have to count and do it by hand. And some constituencies are larger than others. But by midnight, they can have those results all in and can figure out who will be able to form the government the next day.
Right. Yeah, it's just and, you know, in the state of Ohio, again, our population has gone up, but not gone up that much. And, you know, I remember even when I was a kid in the 60s, 70s, 80s, I wasn't a kid anymore. But obviously, we look at the election results. The state of Ohio, this is when we had paper ballots, and just like today with electronic voting, you know, the election count is done by midnight. You know, and there's so many different races from, you know, state reps, state house, county commissioner, levies, school boards, Congress, all that. And the results were in, and even back in the day when we used paper ballots. So it's not brain surgery. Once you get down a system and it has the checks and balances and all you got to do is have your army of people count them and have backup documentation, it works. So
it's just bizarre to me that people would say that, oh, you know, we can't do these, you know, we can't do paper ballots and we can't hand count because it would just be too much time. But, you know, you have all of these countries that do it. They get in their results by midnight. But we've done this for how many years, paper ballots and hand counting, that we were able to get our results. Whereas, you know, we have all of this technology in 2020, yet it still took about 2 weeks to declare who would be president of the United States.
Right.
I mean, it makes no sense. Even when elections were razor thin and they were very close, they were still able to figure out who would be president of the United States when they were hand counting and when they were doing they were having paper ballots.
Right, right. Yeah, it's just amazing. We don't have to rely on technology for everything. We're thoughtful, discerning people. We know how to think and count and reason. And, you know, if your goal is to protect the Constitution, protect election integrity, then, you know, we know what to do. Hey, George Sitari in studio and Dakota Sawyer, co-host, calling in from parts of unknown. We're going to have one more hour after this. Dakota, I do want to talk about President Trump's statement on right to life. I know you're a staunch advocate of right to life, so I think that'll make a great conversation. Our number here is 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673. Give us a call. We'll be back for another hour on Monday Night Roundtable.
program is sponsored by George Sitari CPA and is responsible for its content.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.